When God created man, he had a purpose in mind. He wanted to grow his family, to have man ultimately become a part of his family. So let's look at Genesis chapter 1, beginning of the Bible. Let's read some familiar scriptures. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Verse 26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So that's God the Father saying to Jesus Christ, his Son, "Let us make man in our image." So it's obviously referring to more than one being, but it's referring to two beings, God the Father and Jesus Christ. "According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food," and it was so. In verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So we see here that in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, everything on the earth, including man. Yes, God made and he gave a lot to man. And man had a huge responsibility to uphold his creation. But not only that, man also had a big responsibility to keep God's law. He created us for his pleasure, and it gave him pleasure to create. Look at that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." Being created in his image and likeness, like we read about in Genesis, gives us the ability to know God and to love him, to worship him, to serve him, to obey him, also to fellowship with him. Now, did he need to create us? Did he need to create man? No, he didn't need to. You know, if we didn't exist, God would still be God. He still would exist. But he chose to do this, for he doesn't want to be alone. He wants to extend his family. He wants you and me to be a part of his family. All that he created was for a purpose, and was for the purpose of perfection. For it was, like you said, was very good. Since his creation was for the purpose of perfection, and since we were predestined already from the outset, being called out of this world, having God's precious knowledge, which is a gift from God, as we are set aside for a future role in part of God's kingdom, then why would we want to jeopardize that? Are we taking his calling for granted? God created all that we can see in the earth and the heavens, universe, in 6 days. But he wasn't finished, for we continue on in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. So everything he created up to this point was in a physical stage. But in chapter 2 and verse 1 of Genesis, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished," or better yet, completed. "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done." And verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So he has set that day for, or set it aside for a holy purpose. So what we saw here is a physical stage, which is temporary, followed by the spiritual stage, which is more important. It's everlasting. So the gift Sabbath was also given to us. It was made for man. And we read that in Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. And that's the title of my message, Made for Man. So it is to be kept holy by man. Is the world keeping the Sabbath holy today? No. You see that. What about us? Are we keeping the Sabbath holy today? Are we keeping it holy at all times? Or is it just pick and choose here and there how we want to do it? Let's look at James chapter 1 and verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. This Sabbath is a gift from God. And it comes down from heaven of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. This means that God does not change. God never will change. Now, if God doesn't change and he has his rules and his laws very forceful or clear in what his law is, if he's not going to change on that, why would we? Why would we find a way to change his law? When God created the Sabbath on the seventh day, he did it for a reason. And he expected that man would do the same. But, as we read, man is weak. And temptation and deception and carnal human nature set in, and sin ruled over man. Now, man is not perfect, and man has still much to learn. And the world has not come to the understanding yet of God's master plan, because they haven't had their minds open to understand, which is nothing that man can control, but only through God, who has the power to open one's mind to the perfect understanding. Have we tried to reason with man or others that are not in the church? It doesn't work. Those of us who have been called, who have been baptized, who have received God's Holy Spirit, are that much closer to becoming God beings, for we are begotten children of God. Our foot is in the door. We just need to get the other foot in there as well. And with that comes challenges, especially among Christians in the Church of God. Please note the following quotes from chapter 8 of our free booklet, The Mysteries of the Bible, where we say that in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 2, tells us that, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it does not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that we shall be, or what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. God's word says that we will be like him. And many translations state that we will be equal with him. To most people, the very concept that we can be like or equal with God is a great mystery. And the Sabbath is a great mystery to the world. For one example, as Christ is the image of God the Father, so we are to become the image of Christ. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And Paul elaborates further on the fantastic future change of man in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We will actually become God, that is, God being, a full and total image of God the Father and Jesus Christ, much like a physical child is often recognized as being an image of his or her parents. Those who are called and chosen in this day and age are already begotten, children of God, awaiting their change to a full spirit being at the return of Christ. Now, when you read something like that and you hear that, how do you feel? I mean, what an incredible gift from God, which is difficult. It is difficult to comprehend since we're human. Now, to never feel pain, to never have any of that suffering that we go through today. Just like it's going to be difficult to comprehend how things are going to get much worse very soon. You know, these things that we hear about now is almost like on a daily we hear about attacks or whatever it may be. It's going to be much worse than that. Can we comprehend that? So, that's why it's very important that we have to be on God's side. And we have to be obedient when that time approaches. Now, despite all the bad things that are going to happen, which are prophesied to take place, we have a glorious future to look forward to. And God wants you and me to be in His family. And it takes effort on our part. If we don't put in that effort, we can miss out on the plan for us. Why then would we want to jeopardize that? When God created Adam and Eve, God made it very clear that they were not supposed to do, or what they were not supposed to do, and that was to eat of the tree, which would bring about death. And yet, they disobeyed. They had a perfect life set up in front of them. And one tree changed it all due to their bad choice. So take a look at our lives today, and let us ask ourselves, if we are taking what we know, what God has given to us, and what He has made for us, if we are taking it for granted, are we a little too casual in certain aspects in our lives? Look at the seventh day, for example, which even God the Creator used as His day of rest, and He sanctified it, and He expects the same from us, as we are to keep His day holy. Are we doing that? Recognize what God has made for you and me, and if we jeopardize that, it could bring about our denial to eternal salvation.